Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Christian life is one of joy, but also one of suffering. Faith leads to ultimate victory, but may not change our circumstances. Today, we come full circle in our understanding of prayer, finding ourselves content with the God to whom we pray. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Erwin Lutzer talks about what to do when the answer disappoints, with this conclusion about God's purposes.
I believe that it's very clear in Scripture that God calls His people to suffer. He calls His people to suffer. There's no doubt about it that if you look at the history of the Christian church and you look at the various passages of Scripture about suffering, God does not promise instant deliverance from suffering. We always want it. We always want to see God come and deliver us, give us health, give us strength, work it out, do it for us. And God says, no, I'm not, because I want to teach you the value of faith, whether I do it for you or not. Let's talk about healing. Let's talk about cancer, the big C. I think that whenever God gives somebody cancer, He gives a Christian cancer too, so that the world can see the difference as to how they suffer. And they do suffer differently. When my friend with whom I played tennis for 20 years, and this might not be the place to insert some humor, but I shall. He and I did play tennis for 20 years, that is, with breaks in between, of course. You know, we played once or twice a week, and our wives put up with it. But on a more serious note, here's this friend with whom I played tennis for 20 years. And he's dying of cancer, and I visited him as often as I could. And I would say to him, Mark, have you ever thanked God for cancer? I'll never forget this, because at that point he was so weak that he could hardly walk. He said, oh, he said, I thank God every day for my cancer. Did Mark love his wife? Did he love his grandchildren and other children? Of course, of course. But he said, I have seen the glories of heaven and the presence of God in ways, he said, cancer clarifies your values. You finally really know what is important and what isn't. And all of the things that we give so much attention to, our entertainment and our comforts, suddenly all that becomes very unimportant. It was Samuel Johnson, you remember, who said that there is nothing that focuses the human mind more than the knowledge that one is to be hanged in a fortnight. There's nothing that clarifies it. He said, the presence of God and the assurance of heaven is overwhelming. He suffered well. He died well. Cyprian, the great church historian and theologian, he said that Christianity would have never encompassed North Africa and conquered it in the early centuries were it not for the plagues. He says the plagues were the greatest blessing to Christianity. And the reason is because the Christians died differently than the pagans. The pagans said of the Christians, they carry their dead as if in triumph. And the pagans said, where are you getting all this hope from? We want what you have. And that's why they accepted Christianity. Faith always leads to ultimate victory. Sometimes it doesn't change your circumstances. You think, for example, of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus, related to him in the flesh, sort of like a half cousin. And John the Baptist was a great man, and he was suddenly thrown into prison. And here was John's problem. He was reading the Old Testament, and he discovered that in the book of Isaiah, it said that when the Messiah comes, the prison doors are to be opened, and the captives are to be set free. So John thought, I am suffering unjustly under Herod. Surely if Jesus were the Messiah, now this is the great guy, you know, who preached those sermons on the banks of the Jordan River. He said to himself, if Jesus were the Messiah, then I would be delivered. Those are the kinds of things that messiahs do. They deliver people. So John, the Bible says, sent a delegation to Jesus. And there's no doubt that he tried to be as tactful as he possibly could. But he said to his friends, go talk to Jesus and ask him this question. Art thou he that should come? Or should we look for another? Jesus, you're disappointing to me. If you're the Messiah, I don't see how you are fulfilling Scripture. By the way, is it okay to have doubts? Yes, it's fine to have doubts. I sometimes say that he who has never doubted perhaps has never believed. I may be talking to many of you who have doubts. And one of the slogans that we could use here at the Moody Church in our ministry is, come here and bring your doubts. Because we want to talk about doubts. We want to even talk about evidence and all those other things. But it is possible for a Christian, through a low point in their lives, not seeing a miracle, it is possible to begin to doubt. But will you never forget this? It was when he was in prison doubting that Jesus said to that delegation, there's no man that is greater than John the Baptist. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, now that he's begun to doubt, my opinion of him is beginning to slide. No, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. It's okay if you have doubts, as long as they're honest doubts. If you're a dishonest doubter, there's nothing we can do for you. But if you're an honest one, that's all right. So John the Baptist, the Bible says, the delegation returns and they tell him this, because Jesus said, look, tell John, look, the dead are being raised, the deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing. And then John, I want you to know this. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Could I give you a Lutzer paraphrase on that? Jesus was saying, John, blessed is the person who is not upset with the way I run my business. Blessed is the person who does not say, if that's the kind of God you serve, if he didn't heal that child, I'm out of here. Blessed is the person who does not say, in light of the fact that God did not resolve this situation and deliver this person, in light of that, I'm never going to bother God with another request again, to quote the words of one Christian. Blessed is the person who says, I'm going to pray, I'm going to seek God, I'm going to ask him to deliver. I'm going to ask for the miracles. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be satisfied with the way in which God runs his business. It is then that you and I can handle the disappointments of life. We can take unanswered prayer because we believe that God's will is best. And we also know that the trial of our faith, as I mentioned, is more precious than gold that perishes. And if you live that way, you also will be in God's catalog of the heroes of faith who went on to die without seeing all of the promises fulfilled. Well, you say, Pastor Lutzer, that's wonderful, but where do I begin this walk of faith? Where do we begin this? Some of you say, I can't trust God for anything because I don't know God. I'm disconnected from God. Well, I have some good news for you. When Jesus came to this earth because he was willing to do the will of God, and because he said in Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done, because he was willing to do that, when he died on the cross, he made a sacrifice for sinners. His sacrifice was so complete that the Father accepted it. Jesus said, it is finished. And to prove that God had accepted it, he raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus is now seated in heaven. But he's here by his Spirit because God is everywhere. As a matter of fact, he's even monitoring your heart and your mind and all that you are as a human being. And here's the good news now. If you receive Jesus as your Savior, that's one of those promises that you can depend on 100% of the time. I can't promise you that God is going to heal you, but I can promise you that God will save you if you will trust Christ as your Savior. And if while you are listening to this, you know in your heart who you are, and you've never trusted Christ, and you have no assurance that you belong to Him, this is your moment, because God brought you here today. God enabled you to listen today, radio, internet, whatever means of communication, so that you would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's a promise that you can depend upon 100% of the time. And then we begin the journey of faith, and we say, God, you know what I want you to do, A, B, C, D, but if you don't, I will never stop believing you, trusting you, and loving you, because at the end of the day, I don't want to be upset with the way you run your business. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, I pray for all those who are angry with you because you haven't answered prayer. I pray for all those, and certainly we include ourselves in all of this, who have been disappointed with you because you haven't come through at a crucial moment. And we expected better, and we didn't get it. Father, we pray that we might confess that bitterness and that disappointment, and that we might say to you from the depths of our hearts, we surrender to you today, and we don't want to be upset with the way you run your business. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Because so often we are disappointed with God, I've written a brand new book entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? We've all wondered that, haven't we? One of the points I like to make is that God may be doing more through unanswered prayer than He is doing if He were to answer our prayers. I deeply believe that this book is going to be an encouragement. I think that many people who have left the faith because of unanswered prayer will be brought back, because they will see God's hidden purposes. For a gift of any amount, this book is yours. Be among the first to make sure that you have a copy. The title is, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers?
Erwin Lutzer has now concluded When the Answer Disappoints, part number 6 in a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. How did Jesus handle God's no to His request to be spared from the cross? Next time, don't miss Jesus and the Agony of Unanswered Prayer. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? That's a book that all too many believers need to read. A copy is waiting for you as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.